For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday afternoon on Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I love Wednesdays. What's she talking about?
I love Wednesdays too. I don't know. This has been going on for like the last 7 minutes, I want to say.
Press briefings happening at the White House. Looks like she's talking about executive action on police reform. Put this up for a second. Okay. Let's see what she's talking about.
Able to see real a real difference in communities as it relates to police reform. And that's why he's having the caucus here. He's going to have those conversations and see how we can move forward.
There were some things that were revised in that order compared to earlier draft orders. There were, on use of force, it originally said that officers would only be able to use deadly force as a last resort. That was changed to when necessary as well. So it did revise, but there were additional things that some criminal justice advocates were calling for as well. So is there anything additionally, noting what's in there, that's being considered in case we don't see Congress move?
So, again, the president has taken this very seriously by putting forward an executive action. As you just laid out, we went back and forth and talked about what was in the executive action. But he truly believes in order to make real reform here, we have to get Congress to act. And this is a president that has been told many times, you cannot get this done, you cannot get that done, and we have, you know. And if you look at the last 2 years, you know, I think more than 250 pieces of legislation that became into law were bipartisan. Some of the most important historical pieces of legislation that it's going to really help Americans as we talk about the economy, as we talk about not leaving anybody behind, was done in a bipartisan way. You think about the bipartisan infrastructure legislation, right? For example, you think about the CHIPS and Science Act that's bringing back manufacturing back into the U.S. Those are important steps that was led by this president. So again, it's not going to stop him just because we may be hearing naysayers or people are saying that we're not going to get this done. Doesn't mean that the president is not going to continue to work really, really hard to make this happen.
Just one more. Does he support a pattern and practice investigation into the Memphis Police Department?
I'm just not going to get into any specifics as to what's happening currently in Memphis. As you know, there's an ongoing investigation.
That would be Justice Department, though.
That would be, look, the Department of Justice is dealing with they're doing their own investigation. As we know, authorities are doing their own investigation. We're just not going to comment on anything specifics as that is going on.
All right. Has he made this executive order on police reform yet? Because I was literally just finishing up my show prep, and I had seen that this is something that Democrats were pushing the president to do, to make an executive order addressing police reform across the country. But I don't know if that's gone into effect yet, or if he's actually written that yet or not. So we'll have to keep an eye on that, because that's a big deal if he actually has gone forward with that. Another freaking executive order to just try to rule with a pen. The idea of federal overreach is on full display again. You know, we'll start right there. Speaking of police reform, and you know, the gun issue sort of always is attached to that. And there's some local updates here on the Illinois gun law. Illinois has lost an appeal over the gun law, leaving the restraining order in effect, which means J.B. Pritzker's big gun law is not the law.
Well, sorry.
And this is great, because with this restraining order in place, it gives time, because we've all thought and pretty much known that eventually that Illinois gun bill is going to get to the Supreme Court, and it's going to be deemed unconstitutional, because it is. And then they're going to reverse the law. But it was the confusion in the middle that I think a lot of people were worried about. Like, is there going to be a year in the state of Illinois where all of these laws, this unconstitutional law is the case, and then it all gets flipped back, you know, gets reversed and everything, and how much damage has that done to the industry, and, you know, how much, you know, all that kind of stuff. So here's the story. The state of Illinois has lost an appeal today after a lower court judge ruled a restraining order on a newly enacted ban on some semi-automatic rifles as well as high-capacity magazines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the gun control law on January 10th, which bans the sale and distribution of assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, and switches, which went into effect immediately after he approved it. Effingham County Judge Joshua Morrison issued a temporary restraining order against the law on January 24th, preventing it from being enforced. Morrison said in his ruling at the time that the plaintiffs are, quote, being immediately and irreparably harmed each day in which their fundamental right to bear arms is being denied. Amen. After an appeal from the Illinois Attorney General, Illinois' 5th District Appellate Court ruled today in a 2-1 decision that the temporary restraining order can stay in place and also extended it statewide. We covered this story when the judge Morrison in Effingham County made his ruling. It only protected the literal plaintiffs in the ruling. It was like a few dozen people, if I remember correctly. And they were the only ones that were exempt from this law.
I do remember.
Because they were the ones that put it that so it was but now this so the state of Illinois gets angry at this law that has these few dozen people exempt, and they try to challenge it, and now they've lost the law statewide because that's what the district court has ruled. The ruling today stated that the plaintiffs had, quote, a likelihood of success on the merits in regards to their argument that the law violates the state and United States Constitution. So this district court, in the state of Illinois is pointing out, we're going to leave the temporary restraining order in place because we know it's unconstitutional. So this basically gives the time for it to be determined unconstitutional by the Supreme Court.
When will there ever be a time when we see governors or leaderships in these deep blue states? When will we ever see a time that something might not be unconstitutional when it comes to banning our Second Amendment? Like, I understand that this is part of their bullet points for the Democrats. They're always going to go back to gun control. They're always going to go back to assault rifles and AR-15s and how do we get rid of these things. I get that. But you said at the beginning of this, this would have been taken up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court would have said, no, it's not going to happen. It's unconstitutional. You can't do it. When will there ever be a time that this will be successful? Is it when the Supreme Court is all liberal?
Yeah, maybe.
It doesn't.
Even then, though, it'd be tough to rule against the Constitution. Although they've done it, they have absolutely done it. That would be the time that it would happen. If the liberals and had a pretty good like left leaning liberals on the Supreme Court were willing to do something like that, then yeah, that would be the time that would happen.
But you know,
that's the only time that it would happen.
I know this is like a really overused thing.
No.
That this is like the definition of insanity. Like you just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and
then,
yeah, expecting different results. But doesn't that seem like that's right when it comes to the constant drumbeat of the left trying to do something about the Second Amendment? It's like,
yeah.
You have J.B. Pritzker, who is basically saying, take away this certain type of weapon, this certain type of gun. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And in fact, we have provable evidence that criminals are still going to get guns.
Yeah.
Bad people are still going to get guns, and they're still going to commit horrendous acts.
Yeah, the data
no matter
shows,
what.
The data shows that type of law does not help, is not going to stop any crime.
California is the perfect example.
Yeah. It's just an attempt to pander and get your name in the news and get score political points to try to win your next election. That's all it's for.
This is wild.
That's all it's for. It doesn't save it. It's not making one person in Illinois any more safer. In fact, it's making them. It's hurting their ability to defend themselves. If at the end of the day, speaking of Illinois, as I was reading this story, I was thinking to myself about how this is such. This whole story regarding this bill, this law, this gun law, is such a perfect example of Democratic hypocrisy. So if you remember, part of this bill, so not only did this, not only has it been, and this is only one lawsuit, this is only one lawsuit that's been filed against it. There's other lawsuits about this bill. I mean, now it's on hold, which is great. But there's other people suing the state of Illinois over this exact bill. Sure. So there's all kinds of court cases going on. And all of them say, you know, the reason they're suing is because the bill is unconstitutional. You remember how J.B. Pritzker threatened police, threatened Illinois sheriffs who said, we are not going to enforce this law because it's unconstitutional.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Multiple sheriffs across the state of Illinois. And he said, J.B. Pritzker said, if they don't do their job, they won't have their job.
Absolutely.
Which he cannot. Sheriffs are elected officials.
Yeah, I'm like, how does he have that power?
But anyway, but he's trying to be, you know,
tough guy.
Yeah, big guy on campus, right? The big man. I'm the tough guy. I took the toilets out of my mansion because I know how to dodge the tax code. Tough guy. Super tough guy. So, and you know, and his argument at the time was that he expects police and politicians and everybody, whether you like the law or not, you enforce the law. Whether you like the laws or not, you have to uphold them because that's how America works. That was his big speech. And then I'm just thinking about this. This is the same party that created sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
And said, we're not going to enforce these laws because we don't like them anymore.
Yeah.
We're not going to enforce these border laws, these immigration laws because we don't like them anymore.
Yeah, screw it.
Yeah.
Do our own thing.
You can't do that. You can't do this whole like, you, whether you like the law or not, it's your job and duty to enforce it. Unless it's something we don't like.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and it even goes to,
like, what a joke. What a freaking absolute joke.
Remember, these were the same people that were advocating for CHOP. That CHOP zone and Chaz. I mean, CHOP and Chaz are the same thing, but they were advocating for the people to take over these portions in cities all across the United States and saying, yep.
Where now, there were homes and businesses.
Yes.
And
break into whatever you want. You, the people own it now. Police don't have to go there anymore. Nobody has to protect it. I mean, it's the exact same concept. I love that you brought that up, though, because it makes me giggle that J.B. Pritzker, man. How in the world, Illinois, and I know we have so many people listening over in Illinois, how and why J.B. Pritzker again? How did he win, and why would he ever be considered? Remember, people talk about him as someone that might run in 2024.
Yeah.
How?
He's still on that list.
Oh my God.
Of Democrats that could move to the front of the line if Joe Biden steps down.
How did he get reelected? What in the world?
Yeah.
How?
Chicago. What are you thinking? Yep. Absolutely. I love Wednesdays. We've got a packed show for you. And just after 3 o'clock, so just about 45 minutes from now, we are going to open up Close's Cabinet, as we do each and every Wednesday, and talk to Mark Close from KC95 and the sponsor of Close's Cabinet, Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet. That is always an absolute blast. And here in just a moment, we are going to talk to Rodney Boyd, the insider's insider when it comes to Missouri politics. The new Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, has joined up with 19 other states to threaten legal consequences against CVS and Walgreens if they sell the abortion pill by mail. This is a very interesting story. So I want to get Rodney's thoughts on that, get some details about that piece of legislation, and also check in with him about what is happening around our area, the state, the St. Louis area, and with the Missouri legislative session. So lots to talk to with Rodney Boyd about. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. There's no show host that is like me.
Nope. You're right. You're a diamond in the rough.
No, I am a, no. I am an outsider that doesn't belong, is what I am. Is the only sound. All right. Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. If you can't get enough of this, how could you? Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. You can get the Columbo and Kitty podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, many, many more. And we put the show out as a podcast shortly after we get off the air every day, so there's no reason to miss anything that we do here on the show. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Columbo and Kitty YouTube channel, because you can watch us in the studio here every day, because not only was I singing, I was also playing air guitar. So why
it was just fabulous.
You don't want to miss that.
Before we move on,
yes,
about
ma'am?
The air guitars.
Please.
Why in the world, at one point in life, did we hold competitions for the best air guitar?
Did they stop them?
I think they, to my knowledge, that was like a fad, like the planking, and then that happened, and then it went.
We have got to make like a planking. Did you post? You posted some of your plankings.
I did post the picture.
Pictures.
And I have to tell you, for the people that missed that, if they would have seen Tony and I on the webcams whenever I showed you the picture of me planking, we
were off. It was after the show.
It was after
the cameras weren't on.
Oh my God.
It was off the air.
So funny.
I don't know that I have laughed that hard. I don't know.
We were laughing so hard. It was ridiculous.
Because I was like, if this was just a couple weeks ago, you can find it, the podcast. It's one of the podcasts is labeled something about Katie's planking. And I was going through old fads that disappeared out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so like flash mobs was one of them. And as I was going through these fads that went away, Katie's like, oh yeah, that one. That was dumb. I was glad that was so stupid. That should have went away. And then I brought him another one and Katie's like, bah! Yeah, another one. What were we thinking? What are people? That was so dumb. It was so dumb. I knew it when it was so. And then I was like planking and she was like, oh, planking.
I did it.
That's what I was going. That's my jam.
It was my jam.
And then she found on social media like 50 so pictures stupid. Of her planking.
It's so stupid.
And her and I were, I was laughing so
we were laughing
hard.
So hard. But
we
this
should,
is.
We should post some planking. You and I. Should try to bring back planking.
We should.
News Talk STL planking.
If there are two people in this world that can bring it back,
studio.
It's you and my, you and me, you and I. When I was like,
I was like a beached whale trying to get up on the.
But the air guitar thing was also one of those fads too, where it was like at one point I was seeing like events on my Facebook page or events on my Twitter about people hosting like come to this bar for an air guitar competition. Okay, I know we just went on this whole thing about me planking. Why did we do that? What in the hell were we thinking?
How can you set yourself apart? Like, what makes a good air guitarist?
What's the talent?
Like, oh, you're moving your fingers like you're changing the notes with the frets. You know, like
yes. What's like, a good strum?
Yeah.
Like, are you just like going to town? Yeah. Is it facial expression?
Oh yeah, you're clearly playing in the chord of G, just like the song. It's so perfect. Like, what?
I heard that C chord. I heard it. So stupid.
I gotta agree with you on that. But man, that planking thing was really, really funny.
It was great.
You know what? While we're talking about you, let's keep talking about you.
Oh, okay.
You and I didn't get a chance to talk about this because you were out yesterday, and this news broke after the show on Monday, so this is the first time you and I get a chance to talk about it, but I did hear you talking to Tim Jones and Chris Arps about it, so I know your stance, but I think it's funny. The M&Ms were trolling the whole time. The whole time.
I am so mad. I am so mad.
I disagree with you. I think it was a brilliant marketing trick because everybody is talking about M&Ms.
Tony.
So they did they pretended like they were going to put the spoke candy away, the humanized M&Ms.
Our favorites.
Yeah, they were going to get rid of them, and they blamed Fox News, and Fox News blamed M&Ms blamed conservatives. Conservatives blamed the woke culture, and all along, M&Ms were just setting up for a big Super Bowl commercial where the spokes candies, I guess, are going to come back and with a vengeance and be back in everybody's. Look,
I'm so mad.
I
am so mad, Tony, and I think you are wrong.
I think it's brilliant.
You're wrong.
Everybody's talking about it.
I feel like a dumb A because
You're mad because you got played?
I feel like I was played. And listen, I love those Spokes candies. It's a ridiculous thing to love. But they were so... We spent decades, right? Decades, yeah, probably. Yeah. Building up these identities of these Spokes candies. All of them different personalities, all of them different looks. The Spokes candies were in all these different celebrity situations. Super fun. We spent decades building up these candies. I fell in love with them because I'm a 90s kid. I thought they were funny and quirky and cute. Then all of a sudden we get news that either the woke or the conservatives or somebody was PO'd, and then they went away.
PO'd off.
And then, and that really made me angry. I'm like, that is so stupid that these candies are icons for M&M's. But it makes me even now, I'm more angry now.
All right.
Than I was whenever originally I thought they were taken away, because I do feel like I was played, and I feel like I understand that, like, the Super Bowl commercials are the end all be all of commercials, or at least they used to be, but I get it. That's the glitz and the glamour, and that's the big times whenever you buy a Super Bowl ad and you want it to be like breaking news. But to me, when you bring politics into it, that's where I am like, okay.
That's a great point.
Why are we bringing politics into the candies, and then the politics are the reason why the candies went away, all just to prove a point for a Super Bowl commercial? Yeah. That just makes me so mad.
Now, I will give you that, you know, the whole idea of there's no such thing as bad publicity, and and I think that it was very smart advertising, because they did get literally everybody in the country, the world, talking about M&M's, and that's a big deal to be able to pull something like that off. But I will grant you that when you use politics to do that,
that's the gimmick.
You're walking a thin line.
Yes,
because you could get yourself, you could find yourself on the wrong side of half the country by taking one wrong step either way. You could either fall into the cancel culture,
yes,
of the extreme left, or you could, you know, become an enemy of conservatives and, you know, and lose. Either way, you can't lose either side because it's half the country.
And I just feel like bamboozled, you know? I just feel like I'm bamboozled, and I'm sure other people that felt like this is ridiculous and then they found out it was all just a hoax, I was like, okay.
That's
like,
the brilliant. That part, like, to me, is the brilliant part. The part that they fooled everybody, that they did bamboozle us and they did play us all. That's the genius part.
Politics part, but I guess I wouldn't be so sensitive about this if I didn't spend a good 10 minutes on radio in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening to the station, and I'm just ranting on and on about these Spokes candies, and now the next day I'm like,
Yeah, but everybody did. We all did.
Oopsie daisy. We all did. You know. That's partially why I feel like an idiot, too.
So funny. Remember last week we talked about Rick Scott in Florida, the senator in Florida. He made his announcement late last week, Thursday or Friday, that he was not going to run for president in 2024 and that he was not going to endorse everybody. And I said at the time, and I brought this up with Mark Carter on Monday also, is this the beginning of it? Are the floodgates about to open? Is Rick Scott the first? He's made his announcement. He's not running. Can we expect now the first person broke the seal. Mm-hmm. So now here we go. And it definitely appears that way, because just today, two pieces of big news came out. A brand new report says Nikki Haley has called President Trump and told him of her intentions to run for president in 2024. And the same report says that it'll be in the next couple of weeks that Nikki Haley makes that official.
Oh.
And starts her presidential campaign for 2024. My goodness. And also today, Senator Tim Scott is kicking off his, quote, Faith in America listening tour, where he's going to travel the country to talk to Americans about what's important to them. And he's running commercials in key 2024 primary states. This is what Tim Scott is doing, is a strong signal.
I love Tim Scott.
That he is going to be running for president in 2024.
Oh,
so
boy.
I think the floodgates are indeed about to open because we're still obviously waiting for Mike Pompeo. We're still waiting for Mike Pence. The world is waiting for Ron DeSantis. And now apparently Nikki Haley and Tim Scott are already on the track.
My God, think about that bench too. Think about the bench that you just laid out.
Oh,
that is a magnificent, wonderful bench of people that are so qualified, that are charming, that are charismatic, that do have what it takes, great backgrounds in, I mean, their credibility, yeah, I think is wonderful too. But I gotta tell you, if Tim Scott runs, that will make me very happy.
How many times have I said my three, and I've said it over and over again, and I don't care what order they're in. My big three are Ron DeSantis, Tim Scott, and Nikki Haley. Great. I would see those three in any order you want to put them. President, Vice President, Secretary of State.
Yeah, same.
I don't care which one, where, or what. They
strong people.
That is a great group, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of Republicans that don't like Nikki Haley, that she's kind of flown off the reservation along mm-hmm. with Mike Pence, like mm-hmm. who used to be friends and now we're not anymore. But I think that I think that by and large, most Republicans still are big fans of Nikki Haley. But I know that there are some others that don't. And Tim Scott, I think, is super impressive. Ron DeSantis, obviously, I think is super impressive. So this is going to be really intriguing.
I think it's going to be so great to watch all of these. I would qualify all of them as heavy hitters.
I agree.
All of them have what it takes to be able to stand maybe some of the name calling that could ensue. I think all of them could take it, you know, with stride and be able to brush their shoulders off and continue. I'm also a little bit worried though, because we did have this hype around a giant red wave that was going to be happening in the mm-hmm. midterms, and mm-hmm. everybody had their hopes up. I know a lot of us at this station were like, don't have your hopes up because anything can happen. But for me personally, I was like, this is going to be big. There's no way that the Republicans can't dominate. We saw what happened. We witnessed that it wasn't the red wave we were expecting. But when we talk about 2024, I don't want anything to break that hype. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything to get in the way of all of these wonderful bench players and all of this great lineup to just all of a sudden 2024 happen and it just be an S show. I don't want that to happen, and it makes me a little bit fearful.
The number one thing that would make that happen is if Donald Trump decides to tear these people up like he's done with every other competitor that he's ever had.
But don't you think they can handle
Rubio,
it?
I think they can handle it, but is he going to do it? Is Donald Trump, do you think Donald Trump's going to tear up Nikki Haley? Served dutifully in his administration.
That's a good question.
Who he gushed over. And
that's a good question.
But he did the same thing with Ron. He did the same thing with Mike Pence. Nobody was a better soldier than Mike Pence, and Donald Trump tears him apart without even thinking about it these days. He had the same relationship with Ron DeSantis. Used to think that he was a good person, and now he's, already attacking him again.
I just don't want it to turn into, like this hype of being like, this bench is so great. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be so much fun to watch this and the debates and the whole thing. And then we get there, and it's like, what are we doing? Yeah. What are we witnessing? Like, what a horrible downfall that this has turned out to be. So I don't know. I'm trying to be very cautious with how I feel, but that lineup does make me happy.
I'm super interested to see how Trump reacts. If Trump will personally attack Tim Scott and Nikki Haley like he has everybody else.
That cannot make him look good.
But that's never stopped him in the past.
But
I could totally hear the words coming out of his mouth, just like he did with Ron DeSantis, just like he's doing with Ron DeSantis. I made Nikki Haley.
Yeah, I can see that.
Nikki Haley was nobody before she joined the Trump team, and I created her. Yeah, I could totally see. And that's not, I'm not saying that's a good look for him, because it's not, but I could see it happening.
Man, There is just so much up in the air, but I'm happy.
If you're willing to tear into Mike Pence,
yeah,
then you're, you're willing to go after anybody, I think.
I think for me, I'm just happy that I'm happy that this is the bench that I'm rooting for.
Oh my God.
Rather than
look at
on
those
the other
names.
Side.
Just listen to those names. Set Donald Trump aside. Ron DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Haley. Tim Scott.
It's so
against
Kamala Harris,
Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg,
Joe Biden again, maybe.
Yeah, Joe Biden. Like,
what?
Who are the more impressive people? It's pretty easy to see.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't even think we ever referenced Rodney Boyd in this whole segment because we jumped right into it. Rodney was busy in a meeting and wasn't with us this segment, obviously, but he's joining us this coming segment. So, sorry. We will talk to Rodney Boyd about Missouri politics, what's happening with the Missouri legislative session, and more in just a moment. Then we'll open up Closest Cabinet. It's a fun Wednesday afternoon here on Columbo and Katie. You're listening to 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
But expecting the worst, are you going to drop the bomb?
Welcome back to Columbo with Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Rodney Boyd, the insider's insider of Missouri politics, joins us on the line now, as he does each and every Wednesday afternoon. And Rodney, it is a busy time in the state's capital. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well. I got a nice place to talk. You gave me some good news before we started, so all good. We're in the belly of the beast, as they say, and there's a lot going on up here. I'm actually listening to a Senate debate as you and I are speaking on the critical race theory of prohibition, which is going to be a very heated and intense debate today. One thing I like about this process, so you know, it doesn't work this way in D.C., and if it did, I think we'd have a much better process where people actually may not agree on a bill, but they actually spend some time before, like, trying to figure out what negotiation points may be, and then they take that out to the floor. But they don't come out to the floor until they've had some time to sort of begin to actually work through the legislation, and they do it in a real meaningful way. It doesn't produce always a peace treaty or everybody loves everybody, but it's a real process in legislative lawmaking. And if they did anything like this in D.C., I think the nation would be a lot healthier with what comes out, if anything got out. But good to be with you. They are doing critical race theory today for your listeners who have never heard a Senate debate. This is in the Missouri Senate. You can click on MissouriSenate.gov. Listen live, and you can actually listen to this debate for yourselves. And for those of your listeners that actually have any form of insomnia, you could actually listen late in the evening. You could listen to the legislature in the evening.
That's me and Tony, Rodney. That's both of us.
If you stay awake more than 10 minutes into a floor debate late at night, you need to see a doctor. But most 90% of the people of this That's will great. Actually cure your insomnia.
Yeah, I love it. I want to get into Missouri, you know, some of the hot button issues that are being discussed there in the legislative session here in just a moment. But Rodney, I don't know if you're up on this or not, but I thought if anybody would be, it would be you. The new Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, has joined up with 19 other states to threaten legal consequences, against CVS and Walgreens if they sell abortion pills, the morning after pill, essentially, by mail. I didn't know if you could tell us a little bit about what this legislation is about, or what these Missouri and other states are disputing with Walgreens and CVS or anybody else, I guess, that would be selling this type of medication.
Well, so if you look at the recent restrictions on abortion in a number of states as triggered by the state specific laws, which were made available by the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that states get to determine the abortion policies within their borders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you have a situation where you've got these retail players like the two Walgreens and CVS that have business models that so you could be in Missouri and you could maybe order or buy a prescription for the abortion pill, and it could be shipped to your home, or you could have some kind of acquisition like that. And with these state AGs who have states that have passed laws that are very specific to the rules of abortion, this process could be and would be without the movement of these AGs. It could be an end run around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you got here is these AGs coming together and enforcing what has been passed and enacted by their respective states. And I think if you look at the list of states that's included, every state has passed a set of abortion laws that took effect upon the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And I think that's what you're seeing here with Andrew Bailey. And I think legally, they're on some pretty solid footing. So I suspect you'll see a pretty quick resolution by these companies as it relates to these states. But without this, I think you're going to have, and you would have seen, literally processes that were implemented for allowing ease of access to these abortion drugs sort of go unchecked.
Gotcha. Okay, so the Senate is debating CRT right now on the floor there in Jeff City. What else is taking up the headlines right now? What are the hot button issues that the legislative session is currently focused on?
Well, I mean, so you've got a series of what I call micro legislative efforts that are underway, but the Senate's doing CRT. There was a series of hearings that you talked a little bit about relating to the transgender issue in the House of Representatives that consumed a lot of time last week and will continue to be very time-consuming issues. We're also anticipating moving into some form of conversations around sports betting. We are one of the last probably 20 states that has not approved sports betting as a state regulated industry, and so that's an issue that's starting to bubble up as we speak right now. And all of these debates are set against the backdrop of the most important constitutional responsibility of executing and allocating a budget, right? This $30 billion that they have to allocate, and that's happening at the same time. So it's a very, very active time. When we've talked in the past few shows, it was inauguration week, committee assignment week.
Yeah.
This place is rolling now.
Legislation and
things are happening. You've got some real conversations that are going to come up about education reform again. There is a lot of heat on this issue, a lot of heat on the transportation sector. The governor made some appointments recently to the Highway Commission, which has caused a lot of conversations to sort of focus back on what's happening with our highway system. Is the gas tax, what is the fate of the gas tax? Is the gas tax being used the right way? And there's a lot, and these are all debates that your listeners have access to by going to the House or Senate website and listening to specific committee hearings or listening to specific floor debates. But it's a lot going on around sports betting, CRT, the transgender issue. There's a lot of bills that have been filed. They're working on the budget. If you at all care about your government, you want to access it, is very accessible.
Talking to Ronnie Boyd, the insider's insider of Missouri politics, who is live in the state capitol there in Jefferson City. Only got a few minutes left this afternoon, Rodney, but I'm sure this issue we will be discussing at length in weeks to come. You mentioned how the legislative session is up and running at full steam, and I've been sort of waiting for the doors to open and the floodgates to open when it comes to the United States presidential election season. And I think we're starting to get there. We saw Rick Scott make an announcement last week about not running. There's two stories today, just out today, about one about Nikki Haley and one about Tim Scott and how they are sending strong signals that they are about to make their announcement. My question for you is, here in the state of Missouri, the governor's race is going to be just as big of a deal as this presidential race for people in our state. When do you predict that we start to see what we're starting to see now on the national level? People starting to get in this race. Yeah,
Tony, we're seeing we're there. So we've seen soft announcements soft announcements or declarations of interest in candidacy from our current Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft, a household name, especially in the Republican primary voter corridor. Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe has already raised his antenna that he's running. In fact, he's made an announcement, probably the earliest gubernatorial announcement ever. And then there's a senator from St. Charles area who we know very well, Senator Igel, that's really indicating he's taking an interest. Mm-hmm. I suspect, much like the last time we had a vacated seat, because that's what's happening. Mike Parson, who's our current governor, because of his term structure, cannot run again. Right. I want listeners to be clear. He's not quitting. He's not walking away from the job. He's term limited, right?
Yep.
That makes this a vacated seat. You're going to probably have, like we had the last time there was a vacated seat, after Governor Nixon, we had five or six very, very strong Republican primary candidates and a couple on the D side. You're going to have, I think, the same sequence. We know the three big names now. We know Ashcroft, Kehoe, Igel are out here stirring, you know, exploring the option. I think probably by the late summer, early fall, you're going to have one or two more very interesting names enter into that conversation. And we're going to see a kind of a replay from about 6 years ago, where it's going to be a very tough and talented Republican primary. Good for Republican voters, by the way, because you have a lot of choices, right?
Yeah.
You have a lot of people to look at, sort of figure out where you fit. On the presidential side, I thought it was very telling that I saw some press that our newest U.S. senator has already pitched his tent. He's already pitched his tent, which is an interesting move to make very early, because we know there's a serious effort being mounted by Governor DeSantis, right? We know that's taking shape.
But
loyalty means something to folks, and so it's interesting to see that happen. In Missouri, I suspect we're not going to see any any significant endorsements until the field takes much more of a formal shape. I think these three big names are respectable, well-positioned, but I think more to come, because this is a vacated seat. For some folks, this is their chance to get in the queue and potentially serve for two terms, eight years.
Rodney, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big deal, and we are going to be all over it, and we certainly appreciate you and your time today and governor's race and this legislative
and
session.
Don't forget, Tony, our attorney general's race, which is also taking shape.
Yes, and we will have it all covered for you here on Columbo and Katie with the great Rodney Boyd. Rodney, thanks as always for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of your week.
We'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk next Wednesday.
Yeah, okay. You bet. Right. Thanks. That is the great Rodney Boyd, the insider's insider of Missouri politics. All right, we're going to have a little fun and open up Close's cabinet and talk to Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet and Mark Close from KC95 in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Let us-